So welcome. Here we are. I am in the company of these two good friends, people that I admire and I have known for a few years, Don Bird and BJ Ramon. And you're going to get to know them. I think the idea is that we will introduce ourselves and tell a little bit more about us. But I just want to express this admiration for people who are deep, people who are committed to learn, and great coaches, great counselor, and people who actually are making a difference in the life of other people. The whole point of these conversations is to explore together the intersections, the similarities, the differences, the synergy even into these three modalities, right, of counseling. We have a BJ as a counselor, coaching. John is a great coach, and spiritual direction. You know, that is a little bit my cup of tea, and I have to admit that I love the other two. But before we introduce ourselves, I love to just say this. We have, as a context of our relationship, a common experience, right? That's what brings us together. And I want to acknowledge that, mention that. That is, this common experience is faith walking. The three of us have been part of the faith walking process, spiritual formation process, for a few years already. I mean, I know that I have been there since 2007. So it's pretty much a long time. But Don and BJ, you have been there also for a long time. And we have learned to be in that space and kind of recognize all the brokenness and celebration and dynamics. I call it the soul, the human soul, right? And faith walking has been a great template. So let's give a time to introduce each other, I mean, ourselves. So I'm going to start very politely, Don, with you. Tell us about yourself.
Thanks, Marcos. So I'm Dawn Bird. I'm a Midwest girl, born and raised there. And yeah, just a little bit about me. I think part of what we want to do on this podcast is to be authentic and vulnerable, and yet also very grateful for the things in our lives that happened. And so for me, I was raised in the Midwest. I'm one of five kids. Had our family was intact. My parents divorced when I was 25, but up to there, we were, at least through 18 years of age, a fairly intact family. And I went to a small school, so lots of opportunities, played sports. I was in band. I was in plays. All five of us kids did really well in school. We were good athletes. We're liked by peers and teachers. And capital A, capital N, capital D, at the same time, my dad was an alcoholic. And as goes in families of addiction, there's usually a spouse or a partner who's pretty consumed by that person's addiction. And so that was very true in our family. And so while all these fairly positive things were happening, there were some, there was a lot of attention spent on my dad's drinking. My mom was pretty obsessed with trying to get him to stop, trying to keep the house running, keep five kids going. And so there wasn't a lot of opportunities for, I think, the security, the safety, and the nurturing that I needed. And so I figured out pretty young, and this is all goes on at such an unconscious level. I didn't think about these things, but man, I needed affirmation, acceptance, and approval. And I'm like every other kid on the planet. I needed that desperately. And I figured out pretty quickly because of the circumstances in my home, that wasn't going to happen there. So I went looking, and because I was a good student, because I was good in sports, I got a lot of that from teachers, coaches, different places. And that was great that I was able to find that and get that. And those patterns that started us at such a young age, they don't just stop. I didn't graduate from high school, and then I was like, oh, well, now I know that I have value and I'm worthy and I'm, you know, worthy of connection, belonging. And I didn't know that in that deepest part of my being. So I just went on living my life that way. Got my, you know, just continue to get accolades from the outside. And I think what really pushed me into my own internal work is that I got a lot of value. I was a mom of three kids and I got a ton of value out of that. Like it, yeah, I mean, I was very conscientious. And at the same time, what was happening was I was, I wanted what my kids did was a direct reflection on me. And that's a tough place for kids to be in. They don't deserve that. That's not their job to make me feel worthy. And I just had all kinds of wounding and all kinds of stuff just garbled up in that. And so as my kids started leaving, going away to college, you know, when you're raising kids, you think they're just going to be there forever. You know, Marcos is probably at a stage where he feels like it'll never be just Julie and I, but it does happen. And they started leaving and I was just like, holy moly, what do I have anything to offer the world? Like, what am I going to do here? And thankfully I had some really good coaches and therapists, most who I met through Faith Walking, that helped me to begin to see that, yeah, everybody has something to offer. And even I had something to offer. And I think that's kind of my story. That's kind of how I got interested in helping others, because I got to a place where I desperately needed help from other people. I couldn't figure this out by myself. And I'm so thankful for those people that were available in my life at the time that I needed them. And I sure hope to be that for people who need it at whatever point they are in their lives. Just a real quick note. I'm married. I have three kids. Two of them are married. My husband's a practicing physician. We live in Northwest Illinois. And I do a lot of work with Faith Walking. And then I'm also starting my own coaching practice.
That's awesome, Dawn. Thank you. I feel that I know you even better a little bit now since I hear your story. Thank you for sharing it so clearly and vulnerably.
You're welcome. BJ,
yeah. BJ, what about you? Who is BJ Ramon?
Yeah, BJ Ramon, married as well, and three kids. We have a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old. And I grew up in West Texas, and real small town. You know, we didn't even have like a stoplight in the town, and didn't have locks on our lockers. So just, you know, a very safe place, you know. And so it was a really great growing up experience. I have three older siblings that are much older than me. So I kind of grew up as an only child and the youngest child. So I got both of that spoiledness attached to it. So that was kind of the growing up experience. A lot of in my family was a lot of addiction all around me, alcoholism, drug addiction, things like that. So that was part of my growing up experience. And then moving to college, I became a Christian during that time. And so there was a lot of adjustment in my life, a lot of things that changed for me. And, like I said, ended up, you know, getting married. And then, somewhere around the age of 30, I started asking the question, why do I not feel like an adult yet? I am married, have kids, have a house, car, everything, you know, all the stuff that you think makes someone an adult. But I still am really unhealthy in a lot of my relationships. I'm unhealthy with myself. And, to circle back to the Faith Walking, that's actually, you know, when I came to Faith Walking and then learned that what it meant to be an adult was to be responsible for myself and specifically emotionally, I was responsible in a lot of areas, but maybe not so much emotionally. I hadn't done the work to look at myself and to see where I was missing in a wholeness. And so a word that really drives me is shalom, you know, to be whole, to be in the way that God designed us to be. And so it was a shift for me as far as my understanding of Christianity. It was a shift for me as far as what I need to give time and attention to in myself. So a lot of the activities that I give myself to is seeking out that shalom, that wholeness in myself, the people around me, neighborhood systems. So in addition to being a professional counselor, giving time and attention to empowering neighborhoods that need that type of work, and also giving a voice to systems that are broken and that need wholeness. But a majority of my time, I'm drawn to counseling because I can be with people as they also go on that journey to explore wholeness for themselves. So that's my draw to the counseling as a profession and as something I give my time to, because it's been real meaningful to me, and to help me to think through what experiences I've had that contribute to unhealth in me and how to move more towards a healthy responsibility for myself. So that's me in a nutshell.
Thank you, BJ. Yeah, a great question, right? What's that? I don't feel like I've grown up yet, you know, some of us. I don't know if there are areas of me where I'm still asking that question probably, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, well, you know, my name is Marcos León, and you know, several people in the faith walking community know a little bit of my story because of, you know, the beauty of the community. But I'm originally from Ecuador, grew up there and went to high school there, went to college somewhere else, came back and spent 10 years of my adult life in Ecuador. So I'm not like I came when I was a baby here to the States. Actually, I had, you know, a big part of my life in the cultural reality of my ethnicity. The three things that I think usually come to mind when I think of myself first is kind of a very specific growing up that I had. I grew up in a hotel, and that sounds like super fun, you know, like in a movie or something. And it was in many ways, but they had so many aspects of that that was very unhealthy as I've dealing with them, those things now as an adult. My parents had they started the hotel, and we lived in the hotel, and it was successful, it was good, but it became an identity, it became a very important member of the family, probably the most important member of the family. And, you know, I usually remember very clearly making the meaning that, you know, we were someone, we were somebody, because we own a hotel, right? And the hotel was the provider, the giver of meaning, and also the giver of problems. You know, living in a hotel is fun for a while, but it's not fun when Christmas and you never close a hotel, right? You never turn off. You don't go home. You are there all the time, and it has this dynamic of you know, you are so welcoming to people, and you want them to feel comfortable. You want them to tell what they want to hear. You know, you want to attend to serve them, but inside the realities to make that happen are full of tension and anxiety, and mom has to work. And in the middle of that, my dad also had a problem with alcohol. I had a problem with alcohol even as an adult. I will call my dad, myself, as a functional alcoholics. And I had, that's the first thing, you know, a lot of stuff there, but a lot of brokenness too, a lot of performance. Another aspect that I think it qualifies for me is that I have an experience when I was 30 years old. I call it an awakening. You can call it conversion. I met Christ. I have an encounter with God. Nothing magic. There was no lights or anything like that. But I was kind of unaware of how at the end of my rope I was. It was not a high crisis. It was just a place of cynicism and resignation in which really I was okay. I was going to be okay with the rest of my life, with a life that was not fully alive, not fully human, dealing with alcohol, bad relationships. And I thought that that was it. Life is it. And it was here in the States. I came to visit my mom, who have come here, where I had this moment in which in field walking language, I got access to something that I didn't know that I didn't know. And it had to do with this encounter of grace, you know. Alcoholics in the 12-step tradition talk about this higher power, you know. For me, it was God, and I knew God. It was not foreign. I was not against God. I thought I always knew God, but I had an awakening to this spiritual relationship with God, and that changed my life completely. In a nutshell, eventually I became faith walking. I started working for faith walking. I don't know what did I do to deserve that. You know, I don't know. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anybody. And suddenly faith walking came to me as something a little bit given as a job. And here I am working in this place where people are asking questions and asking you to go deeper. And I hated that. I just wanted to do my job at the beginning, right? And I resisted that for some time. But eventually, you know, this grace of community and learning and curiosity and not judgmental stance start creating openings in my heart. And since then, I have become a student I call it the human soul. I had a bit of a crisis at some point. I got really involved in church and did everything that I knew in church, you know, disciple, leadership, and all of that. But I got to a place still of emptiness. Still, you know, there's something else that prompted me into things like contemplation and meditation and mindfulness. I started reading the mystics. And that somehow added something that until now has become that's something that was missing. So here I am, you know, with a counseling degree, yes, the faith walking tradition or work in me, and this idea of a spiritual direction that is what I bring. That's my cup of tea. I love learning those things. You know, none of those in my mind is enough. It's complete. There's something that the other brings. So anyway, that's a little bit. Married to Julie for 10 years. We have 4 kiddos. I have one daughter that is 26 years old. She is in Finland right now. And then I have 8, 6, 3, and 7 months. So life is busy, complex, you know, with adult problems of my daughter and diapers are still in the middle. So life is full. So anyway, that's me. And so I have this question. Just one more question. I love... So the idea, you know, is like a joke, right? So a counselor, right? A coach and a spiritual director go to a bar, right? And what will be talking about? You know, how that conversation goes between the counselor with research and psychology and all this amazing thing and the brain and all that, and the coach with the practicality of, okay, what is the skill? Tell me more, and asking awesome questions, and the spiritual director that somehow is trying to be quiet and let's have a moment of silence and let's look up. I don't know how that conversation goes, but that's kind of at the heart of this experiment. And I love to hear what thoughts you have around that. You know, what are you excited? What are you curious about these conversations that we're going to try to have in the future?
Yeah, I love what you just said, Marcos, that I think there is a place for all of them. And I just imagine this really, if the three of us were together at a bar, a really rich conversation, each of us sort of making space for helping each other think about that particular area that we're really interested in. And hopefully each of us with humility would be really curious and receptive to each other's areas and notice how much each person brings to that conversation, each of their skills and their experiences. I really hope that that would be present.
Indeed. Yeah. Humility. And I don't know if you use the word respect, but there's a space for all of us. Yeah. It's great. I love it. Vijay, what comes to your mind as you think of those kind of conversations?
Yeah, I guess I hope to also see in those conversations, the crossover, kind of a motivation that simply is coming out in different expressions and how those expressions can be useful depending on the individual that we might be serving or, the needs that they have.
Yeah, conversations are helpful. Yeah, indeed. And we learn from each other. That's a beautiful thought. And don't you mention that. And, the way that comes, what the first thing that actually comes to me and mine is even as listening to you and your stories is the commonality, I don't know how to call it, human experience, right? I cannot separate that. But even when Dawn, you were talking about this need for affirmation and affection, and I cannot but see myself in that story. That's something that somebody calls that kinship. That's my kin. I understand that because I have the same needs, and I cannot separate them into that, but into one stream only. But so that's what comes, the commonality of the human experience, the brokenness that we experience, the places where authenticity is a gift.
Yeah, and I think part of what you're speaking to, Marcos, is just solidarity. That's part of what happens when we hear other people's stories, is we don't feel as alone. It's like, oh, I really thought I was the only person. And yeah, just the commonality, the universality of our very deep experiences, I think is can be so healing and transforming.
Yeah, hopefully. And I think that it speaks to different parts also of our making, There is a brain and a psychology, and we need techniques. We'll talk probably about habits and stuff like that are very, very real in our lives, the need of those things. But there is also a place of the existential philosophers talk about, what's your center? What happens after? That kind of question that takes you and face you with something else. And with respect and humility, what do you think when you think about it? If we agree that there's a space to wonder and to be curious, what comes there and what that does to you today, how that shapes you and the practicality, of coaching is beautiful too,
Yeah, the other thing I was thinking about, an area that I've just, and so I think what's really cool is I think probably BJ has some areas that he's particularly interested in counseling counseling, and then Marcos with you, spiritual director, just some things that have meant a lot to you. And one of the things that I've gotten really interested in is the whole idea of embodiment and our body and our brains. And just a really quick example, how much our body tells us. I've just been so aware of that. And so just right now, my husband and I are on a trip to Asheville, North Carolina, and we took a 24-mile bike ride with, I don't know if people will think this is a lot or not. It was a lot for me. There was 2,000 was the elevation. So there were some decent hills. Well, I didn't have much anxiety about that. We have road bikes, we've ridden. I knew it would be hard. I knew that, all of that, but I didn't have a lot of anxiety. But when I thought about doing this, what we're doing right now, I felt it in my body. I felt it in my gut. I felt it. My chest got tight. And so as I'm aware of that, I'm like, okay, so that is telling me something about something's been stored in my body that has to do with how I can perform. What performance means, how much value it gives me, connection, belonging. And so I think I do want people to know too that yeah, that like we'll have opportunities to talk about things like that too, like embodiment and what's the experience of being in our body and how much that, what potential there is for healing, even as we engage our body. So it's not all just in our heads, like BJ explaining this particular counseling theory or our connection with the divine, but it's our mind to body connection. And I'm really excited about that. And I think there's just huge potential. So I wanted to add that as well.
That's awesome. Go BJ.
No, I think that's wonderful, Donna. I love what you're saying. Cause I think there's a lot to that. And so I found that real inspiring when you were saying that. And even, you know, part of what we're talking about here, mind, body, spirit, you know, in alignment, you know, that this is, it just makes a lot of sense to me and drives me back to the word I kept using a lot earlier about wholeness, you know, and making sure that we're seeing health in all those areas that they're working together. So, and paying attention to your body, I think, especially, I feel like a majority of the sessions I have that ends up what we talk about is paying attention to your body. Cause it's telling you, what's going on. So yeah, I love that, Don.
Well, friends, this is exciting. I think my body also is telling me how excited I am because these are the kind of conversations that somehow I like. And I know that is preference, but I think they're very valuable. So whatever you are a coach and you're into the coaching business or coaching experience, or you're a counselor or you are a spiritual director, or you are just a human being that wants to hear about these three different things, we hope that you will find some things that are interesting and helpful in these kind of conversations. More of this to come. Hopefully next month, I think we will talk a little bit about our different streams. You know, what do we have to say about, you know, clarifying what counseling is, what misconceptions might be, and same thing with coaching and the same thing with the spiritual direction. So thank you very much, friends, for your time. And I hope we will be together next month.
Thanks, Marcos. This was great.